Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was Kenny Chesney, Carrie Underwood, and more last night at the Country Music Awards in Nashville. And there in the audience, not exactly in the spotlight, was Republican presidential contender Fred Thompson. Other Republican candidates have been campaigning 24/7, but not Fred. He's got his own way. Some say it might still work, but he's been shaking some of the conservatives who begged him to run. This hour, On Point, Fred Thompson was cast as the Ronald Reagan of 08. We'll ask how he's doing. Joining me first today from Chicago is Christine Bion. She's a campaign reporter for ABC News. She's been covering Fred Thompson ever since he signaled he might run way back in June. Christine, thanks for joining us.
Tom, how are you?
I'm good. Tell us about Fred Thompson and his campaign. He got a lot of flack for being sort of slow, low tempo, not engaged. Is it the same gear he's in today or something different?
Well, I would definitely say that he's not as frenetic or high energy as his opponents in the current GOP field, but I think that he is intentional, and that's what their campaign is trying to convey in his campaign.
Intentional. What do you mean by that? Intentionally slow, intentionally low profile, intentionally what?
No, I think they're just, they know what they need to do, and that's what they're trying to, I guess, run on. And so.
And what is that? What is it they think they need to do?
They are trying to portray him as a consistent conservative. So every single speech that he gives, he brings that out as saying he's the same as he was yesterday and he will be the same as he is today, as he tomorrow and in the future. And so in his ads and every public appearance he has, he talks about his consistency. And I guess that's just what they're trying to portray.
Consistency, but is he the consistent conservative that the conservatives were looking for when they begged him to get in the race? We saw him over the weekend on the National Sunday show saying he's not in favor of a constitutional amendment to block abortion. We saw him saying he's not in favor of a constitutional amendment to block gay marriage. We're going to hear in this hour from a commentator who says every time he opines on an issue, he loses another congregation.
Well, he generally, in those cases, he refers back to his strong stance on federalism. And that's what he, I guess, is trying to tell people, that states should have their rights. And that's what he usually falls back on. I don't know how convincing that is for conservatives who want to hear exactly what they want to hear on abortion or gay marriage, but that's what his answer is always.
Is it a shocker this week for the Fred Thompson campaign to see Pat Robertson throwing his arm around Rudy Giuliani, to see Bob Jones III endorsing Mitt Romney and Sam Brownback, strong evangelical Christian now out of the race, but throwing his lot with John McCain? Is that a blow for Fred?
Yesterday, we were in South Carolina at a different campaign stop, and he was asked if he was surprised of hearing about Giuliani's endorsement. And he said that he was a little surprised, but I guess he said that he was easily surprised. So I didn't really know how to take that, but later on, he went on a radio show and said that, you know, he did have a relationship with Pat Robertson, but again, he was surprised, and I guess he just kind of brushed off the endorsement, saying that people will decide what they want to decide and do what they want to do and not heed endorsements from anyone.
So what's the scenario within the Fred Thompson campaign? I mean, this week, of course, we also had this problem of one of his top fundraisers, a campaign co-chairman, Philip Martin, who was, who left the campaign after it came out that he had this criminal record way back in 1979, early 80s, for on charges of selling marijuana and cocaine trafficking. He's gone. Is Fred still going to fly on his jet? And what's the winning scenario that Thompson's campaign sees?
Well, at this point, I've asked about that, and they say that they're not going to be using his jet anymore. This past week, Fred Thompson said that he had not talked to Phil Martin since, I guess, the Washington Post and ABC News reported on his past. But obviously, Phil Martin has resigned, and, from what I've been hearing, Phil Martin, was a huge supporter and felt really bad about, I guess, getting caught up in I guess, this bad publicity for
Thompson. Fred Thompson said that's a long time ago. He's dealt with it, but he's gone now. Anyway, where does he stand in the polls and in the fundraising race?
Right. Well, he did get in later than everyone else. He's raised about $12.5 million. That's what they last reported in the past 4 months. And I think he has about 80,000 donors total. In the polls, he's running second or third. Giuliani, of course, is leading the race.
So second or third nationally. What about in the caucus primary states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina?
Well, at this point, Fred Thompson has been going to all those states. I believe that their main focus is on the southern states. So he's been spending time in Florida and South Carolina. And this past week, he was in South Carolina again. And he says that he's at the top of the polls there.
So maybe a sleeper here. Christine Bion with ABC News, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fred Thompson's only just launched his first campaign ad this week. Let's listen here. Listen closely, and you can hear that message, a consistent conservative who can beat the Democrats next November.
You know, I've been a conservative all my life. I grew up in a little hometown just like this. Started the first Young Republican Club in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. In 8 years in the United States Senate, I fought for tax cuts and for conservative judges. And I'm proud to have had a 100% pro-life voting record. Common sense conservative principles. Free people and free markets. And a government that doesn't tax and regulate us to death, but defends us and protects our borders. In a country where if you play by the rules, you got a fair chance to live the American dream. My friends, we must remember that our rights come from God and not from government. And if we stick to our basic conservative principles, we'll win next November, and the United States of America will be better for it.
Strength, conviction, honesty. Fred Thompson, president.
And there it is, Fred Thompson's first campaign ad of the season. If you know that voice from Law & Order, well, of course you do. He's a TV actor, former senator, now on the trail with his own tempo in the GOP race for the White House, or for the nomination at this point. Joining us right now from Washington is Joe Matthews. He covers politics for the Los Angeles Times. He's been following the Thompson and the Giuliani campaigns, wrote a series of stories looking into Fred Thompson's early life and career. Joe Matthews, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
So we're going to look back a little bit with you, but first just look at this man right now. There was the long drumbeat, conservatives waiting for him to get in, finally did, Labor Day time. Is this where he was supposed to be at this point?
I think the hope was he would be further along, but I think there seems to be, and we're seeing it with as time passes, that there was this notion that, you know, this was the right moment for him. This was time that he fit in this race as sort of a conservative in a race without a long time conservative in it. And while I don't doubt his the sincerity of his views, of his conservative views, you know, that kind of character, that sort of hard-nosed, draw a clear line conservative, doesn't really match with the person that I've sort of come to know from researching his life. He's an incredibly, there's a lot of nice things to say about him. He's a person with a great way with people, very skillful at diffusing situations and getting people to get along, mm-hmm. But much more of a sort of compromiser. And I think at some level he kind of wants to be the sort of I would guess if he were ever elected president, that looks unlikely, he would be more of a sort of bipartisan healer type rather than a person who draws lines. I mean, there's not a lot of line drawing in his life that you see.
Look back just a little bit with us at some early glimpses of Fred Thompson that might help explain the man we see today.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think that town, which he talks about in the ad, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, which is so far south in Tennessee, it's practically in Alabama, is a pretty good, tells you a lot about him. He not only grew up there, he was born in Alabama, actually, just over the line, mm-hmm. and moved to Lawrenceburg before he was 6 months old. But he grew up in this town, and this town's sort of a small place. People are very neighborly. The Thompson family, really, his mother, obviously not a Thompson, by mm-hmm. blood. Mm-hmm. The Thompson family were really a bunch of comedians, and I think Fred is very much in that tradition. They're very funny people. Mostly when I asked folks in the town about different members of the family, they recounted old jokes. These are people who are very skillful at just getting along with other folks. And that is a Thompson skill that, you know, encompasses his entire life. I mean, in looking at all different points of the life, even talking to people he put in jail as a federal prosecutor, they all like him. I literally could not find someone who disliked Thompson.
But yet when the heat comes on, whether it's on the, you know, constitutional amendment on abortion or gay marriage or the Terri Schiavo push, which he opposed, what Republicans broadly backed, or when James Dobson, the Christian radio host, Christian Wright, calls Thompson un-Christian, Fred Thompson says, he's not looking to break bread there. He says, I'm not going to dance to anyone's tune, including this very powerful figure on the Christian right.
I think that's true. And again, that's him, but that doesn't match the moment.
Joe Matthews, looking at how he got into politics and where he stands today in this campaign, what do you really think is going on inside his campaign circle, inside Fred Thompson's calculation? I mean, it's not exactly taking off like a rocket, and yet he doesn't seem to be, you know, upset about it. Is there a sleeper possibility that you can describe here?
Perhaps. It fits a pattern throughout his life. This is not a person who, at least as far as I can detect, has ever showed a tremendous amount of initiative, you know, set a goal and said, I want to go do this big thing. He's a person who's, you know, gotten along very well with other folks, reasonably intelligent, and he's somebody who that a lot of people have looked at, whether they've been women, lawyers, politicians, and said, wow, this guy has got a lot going for him. He's got a lot of potential. Maybe we could put him in this role. Maybe we could put him in this job. And he gets sort of pushed into things, and he doesn't, you know, brag on his record most of the time, but when he gets pushed to do something, when he's really backed up against a wall or pushed, he actually performs very well and has actually worked very hard and not been lazy at all. And I wonder if this presidential campaign doesn't fit that. I mean, he was clearly, there are a lot of people who have been reported to be very interested in him doing this, from Howard Baker, who's, mm-hmm. His earliest political mentor, or one of his earliest political mentors, to his own wife. I mean, he's someone who wears the world lightly, and he's someone who clearly telegraphs that he doesn't feel any great need to be president. And that's, you know, very different than most of these guys.
Which raises that question of, does he really want it? He was sitting waiting for a Fox News interview to get started. And Carl Cameron, the host there, said into his microphone, you know, he was urging his crew to get going. He says the next president of the United States has a schedule to keep. And deadpan, Thompson says next to him there, and so do I, i.e., I'm not the next president of the United States.
Well, that's the Thompson humor. I mean, that's, you know, the Thompson family, and you know, I met his brother as well, who's a sort of struggling actor in Nashville. And there's a family tendency never to miss a chance to tell a joke, even on oneself. I'm not sure I would read very much into it. I mean, I guess the question is it such a bad thing to have someone who's doesn't, you know, desperately need the job? Is that, you know, what kind of, you know, do you get a better president in that way? You know, I don't know. It probably speaks well of someone's sanity, given the demands of running for office, much less serving for office today, to be a little bit reluctant, right?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's just one unusual strategy, but it will be fascinating to see how it plays out. Joe Matthews with the Los Angeles Times, done a lot of reporting on Fred Thompson. Joe, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Let me turn now to a couple of guests who know and have followed Fred Thompson for a long time. John Geer joins us from Nashville. He's a professor of public policy and education at Vanderbilt University, editor of the Journal of Politics, author of In Defense of Negativity, Attack Advertising in Presidential Campaigns. John Geer, thanks for being with us here on Point again.
Oh, thank you, Tom, for having me.
And from Philadelphia, we're joined by Dick Pullman, national political columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, author of the blog Dick Pullman's American Debate. Dick Pullman, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
You've been following this Thompson campaign with some pretty spicy language of your own. You're the guy who said every time he opines on an issue, he probably loses another congregation. What do you think of Fred Thompson now, a couple of months out of the gate?
Well, I have to say, I think of him the same way I thought of him, frankly, back in May when there was first a lot of chatter about him. And I kind of said that he was going to potentially be for the Republicans what Roger Clemens supposedly was going to be for the Yankees, you know, the old war horse who comes in and saves the day. Mm. But, you know, I thought at the time, I was pretty skeptical at the time, given, I thought, his very spotty record, at least even from a conservative standpoint, his spotty Senate record. And I thought I think he's proved to be, you know, the old war horse that really can't gallop anymore.
John Geer, explain Fred Thompson's conservatism for us. That was the big label hung around him as everyone was waiting in this funny field of Republicans where no one quite fit, none of the front runners quite fit the mold that the right wanted to see. Here comes Fred, and yet it's not quite what I guess they thought they were asking for.
Well, you know, Fred Thompson has been a consistent, what you might call, federalist. He does not want the federal government involved in lots of different things, including, you know, amendments dealing with abortion or gay rights, et cetera. And he's always been like that, and he's consistently on that front. What he has provided for this race, and whether he ends up winning the nomination or not, I mean, I'm probably a little more optimistic than my colleague Dick, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, he does have problems. But he's filling a void because when George Allen was knocked out of the presidential contest through his failed Senate bid in Virginia, really there was an opening. There was somebody who could fit kind of the Ronald Reagan mold because none of the other front runners, whether it be McCain or Romney or Giuliani fits it very well. And so he provides a kind of a hole in the race, tries to plug that hole. He's doing it in a very unorthodox fashion. And I think the national media, you know, lead journalists such as Dick and others have just not been very happy by his general style. But he's going to play it his way. And whether it works or not, we don't know. But imagine if it does. I guarantee you everybody will run differently in 2012.
It would be a changer. He sat down with Tim Russert on Meet the Press last weekend. And you talk about his federalism, that is support for states' rights, for states to decide how they want to handle difficult issues. You talked about gay marriage. You talked about abortion. Here he is first saying, you know, he was asked, I mean, what if some states approve gay marriage? He's personally against it, but here's how he responded. Here's Thompson on Meet the Press summing up his position there.
But at the end of the day, if a state legislature and a governor decide that that's what they want to do, yes, they should have the freedom to do what Fred Thompson thinks is a very bad idea.
There you go. So it's not what he would do, sign off on gay marriage, but if states do it, well, he's a federalist, so it's over to them. The same on abortion. He says he's not in favor of a constitutional amendment to ban abortion, been part of the Republican presidential platform for eons now. And Tim Russert asks him about that, about, again, where states stand or where abortion would stand between federal and state.
You would allow abortion to be performed in states, if chosen by states, for people who think otherwise.
I do not think that you can have a law that would be effective and that would be the right thing to do, as I say, in terms of potentially. You can't have a law that cuts off an age group or something like that, which would potentially take young girls in extreme situations and say, basically, we're going to put them in jail to do that. I just don't think that that's the right thing to do. It cannot change the way I feel about it morally, but legally and practically, I've got to recognize that fact. It is a dilemma that I'm not totally comfortable with, but that's the best I can do in resolving it in my own mind.
Dick Pullman, that's got to be a long, long way from what many conservative Republicans in the anti-abortion crowd want to hear.
Well, see, I think conservatism has changed, or I should say it's like it's split into different sensibilities. I mean, I think the religious and social conservative sensibility today is that Washington, through its federal government, should basically set a standard for morality and follow it through to the local level. And I think what Thompson's talking is actually, sort of a more traditional, a bottom-up form of conservatism. And you know, I guess you can give him credit in a sense for saying, look, this is what I believe, and this is an actual quote from Thompson, I'm not going to dance to anyone's tune.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the early primary states, you know, the base of the party, religious conservatives vote heavily in Iowa, South Carolina, places like that. You know, they're looking for a certain for a candidate who's in sync with them ideologically. And, you know, it's interesting, as much as this notion of him filling the Reagan role, religious conservatives, when they look back at Ronald Reagan, as much as they sort of, genuflect toward him, they also feel that he was not sufficiently passionate about banning abortion. I mean, they always think that he just kind of phoned it in, literally, to the big rallies that they had back then. And they're actually looking for someone who will go beyond what Reagan did on social issues and step up. And I don't see Thompson's record. In some ways, to his credit, he is being consistent, but I don't think it's necessarily what they're looking for.
Let's hear from our listeners. Kate's calling from Amherst, New Hampshire. Hi, Kate. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I'm a registered Democrat, but I find that there is an intellectual measure about Fred Thompson that is appealing, and I think he stands separate from the other Republican candidates in that he refuses to succumb to some religious fervor to compromise his principles in government and in law. And I think that's where the Republicans should seek the candidacy and get away from all of these issues that have been so prevalent in this particular administration that have gone wrong for them. And I find him very appealing and will look further into him as a prospective candidate.
Kate, thanks very much for that. John Geer, what about if there's a Democrat looking across the fence and saying that looks good to her, but how do you think Fred Thompson reads what's come to be called the base of his own party? I mean, Does he really think he can win on this path?
Well, the Republican side is so fluid that there's numerous scenarios and lots of potential winners. What Thompson's trying to do is to be consistent, to be himself, not as to play to anybody else's tune, to try to run the campaign that he's comfortable with. I mean, if you think today. Within the last couple of days, you've had McCain talking differently about immigration. Why? Because he thinks that might be able to get him some votes. You obviously have lots of problems facing Romney because of his changes on certain key social issues.
Abortion,
when he ran for governor.
Gay rights.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so here's somebody who is also an individual who's been consistent, but not somebody who has been trying to be president for the last 30 years. That's just not Fred Thompson. And he's comfortable with who he is. He's going to continue to push that. And given how fluid the process is, you could imagine the scenario. I'd be stunned if he won either Iowa or New Hampshire. But if, in fact, there's no clear front runner that comes out of those two contests, which is plausible and maybe even likely, you go to South Carolina, you start to go to these southern states, and people will give him a look. I mean, the way I think of the process is that Giuliani's likely to be among the final two candidates. But who is the person who's going to end up opposing Giuliani? And Thompson's one of the contenders that could be there. And it's just a matter of some, good luck and also how you run your campaign. And Thompson's doing it by what's comfortable for him.
Dick Pullman, he's talked about Mitt Romney, who's put out a lot of his own money in addition to what he's raised in this campaign, and said on the South Carolina front, you can't buy South Carolina, Mitt Romney. You can't even rent it. What do you see going on in South Carolina? That might be a bellwether of whether this strategy has a chance.
Yes. Well, I think I agree with John on what Thompson's potential is in some of these southern primaries. And it kind of hinges a bit on what happens in Iowa and New Hampshire and on also, Iowa and New Hampshire in particular, because if, Romney may be running third, I think, or even fourth in the national polls. But if you look state by state, which is more important, he's running very, very strong in Iowa and in New Hampshire. He certainly has a very, very good chance of winning New Hampshire. If it kind of depends on if one candidate gets up an enormous head of steam in those two states, and then he sort of reaps the free media and all this kind of, the momentum that goes with it. And that could, frankly, what happens in Iowa and New Hampshire could really shape how people in South Carolina potentially view that contest. And I think I wouldn't necessarily discount Romney's potential in a state like South Carolina. I mean, he is picking up some support from leading religious conservatives. And Thompson has not, as you were sort of, Tom, you were saying at the top of the hour, you know, Thompson's been the odd man out in some of these. And so, you know, I don't necessarily think just because he has Southern roots that he's, you know, a lock to do very well in South Carolina. He could still get steamrolled by what happens in those early states where he is not putting up, I think, a very strong organizational profile.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's take a call from South Carolina. Pete's calling from Leesville. Hi, Pete. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I watched Fred Thompson the other day on Meet the Press too, and I did think that his statement on torture kind of fit in with the red meat type of attitude in South Carolina from that initial debate where people cheered when Romney said there'd be another Guantanamo. It was very, very much kind of in with this conservative idea that torture's okay and that it does what needs to be done. And he said I would do it if that was the case, you know, if it needs to be done to save the country type thing. So I wasn't crazy about that. I frankly turned the show off and couldn't watch anything else he said. So, you know, his stuff about abortion, I guess, is interesting, but the stuff about torture kind of goes back to that conservative idea that that's okay. But I don't think that
the sort of whatever it takes path there.
Yeah, I don't think that's what America's all about.
Pete, anyway. Thanks for that, Dick Pullman. Let's look at that away from the social issues and out to, well, in this case, war on terror, whatever you want to call it. There he does get pretty red meat.
Well, he does. He's actually, I suppose you could say in some ways he's to the right of John McCain, for example, on this. And McCain has been, I guess, perhaps because of his own experience, has been saying that, you know, we need to really set some standards here and not just sort of try to, you know, out-muscle each other here on how, you know, how radically we can sound in favor of torture. I mean, it's kind of like the whole thing seems to be sometimes devolving into kind of like this, you know, this arm wrestling contest. And I expect they're going to call Jack Bauer from the 24 show in to adjudicate the winner. You know, Thompson, I think, is certainly within, you know, kind of that the mainstream of the thought among those within the party base who really believe in the most sort of aggressive possible posture toward the war on terror. So, I mean, I don't see him necessarily picking up votes vis-a-vis the other candidates on that particular stance because, you know, they're all fairly close together on that. And I think in some ways they cancel each other out on that.
In his first GOP campaign debate, October 9th, 2007, Fred Thompson took flack from Mitt Romney for his former acting career. Thompson fought fire with flair.
This is a lot like Law and Order, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
It has a huge cast. The series seems to go on forever, and Fred Thompson shows up at the end.
And to think, I thought I was going to be the best actor on the stage.
There you go. Fred Thompson puts it right back to Mitt Romney in October. Let's take a call from Judy in Nashville. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Yeah.
And thank you for a very balanced viewpoint that I get from On Point on whatever subject you're speaking on. I am a registered Democrat as well and a member of the Presbyterian Church. I don't dance to anybody's tune either. And I've been very pleasantly surprised at what I'm hearing about Fred Thompson. It seems to me that he's got the most integrity of anyone in the field. And as a Democrat, if for perchance he were to get elected, I would feel much more comfortable with, no matter what his hawkish positions on the war and terror, I would feel more comfortable with him making decisions based on real facts rather than facts he wanted to manipulate because of the integrity he's showing. So I've been quite pleasantly become aware of Fred Thompson.
But you're a registered Democrat. Across the party line, do you think there are enough Republicans who feel that way today that they might give him a real chance here?
I hope that there are more Republicans that are like Democrats in that they are independent thinkers and will think through that no matter what their moral or religious position on things like abortion and gay rights, that you cannot and should not legislate morality.
Mm. Judy, thanks very much for your call. Dick Pullman, on this morality front, Fred Thompson got a lot of attention for his comments not long ago on the Terri Schiavo case. I wish you'd take us back to what he said about that and how it figures into his view of the world and government's role in it.
Well, yes, he said several weeks ago, I guess. First, he tried a few weeks ago to avoid talking about it and left the impression that he didn't know the details of it. And it turned out he was just trying to avoid bringing it up because he had a daughter who died from after an accidental overdose a few years ago.
And when she was in her 30s. This is from an earlier marriage.
Mm-hmm. 38, I believe she was. And he was faced with that difficult private personal decision of what to do at the end of life. And so it made a big impression on him. And so and I think that just really underscored his instincts on this, his federalism instincts, which was basically that the federal government in Washington really didn't really have any business, you know, reaching into the private lives of people and just sort of dictating whether these machines should stay on or off. And in 2005, the Republican Congress, with an assist from President Bush, who flew across the country to sign this emergency bill, basically said to this family in Florida, the Schiavo family, that Terri had to remain alive. And this was overturning essentially a series of rulings from state courts in Florida, one in particular, a state judge who was in fact a Republican, who had ruled that the family should be allowed to make its own decision. So last week, Fred Thompson basically stated, and sort of along the same lines as he did on abortion and gay rights on Meet the Press, that the Schiavo case was something that Washington should not step in on.
You said making this this case into a political football is something that I don't welcome. It should be decided by the families. The federal government and the state government ought to stay out of those matters as far as I'm concerned. John Geer, that's a different kind. It's certainly a principled position, but it's different from what we've seen, again, from the Republican base. I mean, Tom DeLay famously said when they were considering the Terri Schiavo case, "I don't care what her husband says." He was House GOP leader at the time.
Yeah, well, I think the way DeLay handled that and the Republicans in general probably further justifies Thompson's reaction, because I don't think it was a good day for the Republicans when they tried to force these kinds of reactions. And again, it gets back to Thompson's, you know, trying to push this theme about being consistent. And he is being consistent on this front in the sense of he just really wants to trust the states. We have 50 states. They're very different. And you just, you know, play to their particular preferences. And, you know, it does yield a compelling narrative for Thompson. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win or anything along that line, but he does have this ability to play this kind of card, and it's a very good card to play in the sense that you're not caught in all kinds of you know, statements about morality or potentially inconsistent positions over a longer period of time. And
But a good card in what? I mean, it helps him, but here he doesn't have Pat Robertson endorsing him. He doesn't have Bob Jones III. Certainly doesn't have James Dobson. Doesn't even have Sam Brown back. So when you say it helps him, do you mean that you think some of the Republican base is moving away from that more morally interventionist posture?
Well, I think the evangelical base or the Christian base or however you want to frame it is one that's in slight disarray. I mean, they're not clear. They don't have one candidate they can rally behind. They themselves seem to be conflicted. There's real unhappiness with the Iraq war. There's certainly some movement within evangelical churches, for example, to stop worrying about things like abortion and focus more on, believe it or not, Al Gore's issue of global warming. So that there's, you know, there isn't just a monolith out there that's supporting one set of issues or one candidate. I mean, they go in all different kinds of directions. And the fact that one day Mitt Romney gets a prominent endorsement, the next day Giuliani, that tells me that there's no consensus emerging. At the same time, Thompson did pick up a very important endorsement out in California from McClintock. And again, I'm not arguing that that makes a big difference for the Thompson campaign. But right now, the situation's in flux. And especially on the Republican side, the Republicans like to rally behind a candidate. They did so with Bush in 1999 and 2000. And they haven't found that candidate yet. And Thompson is kind of running maybe it's the tortoise and the hare race all over again. And he's trying to run the kind of tortoise-like race. We'll see. It's so early. Not that, you know, we still have 11, 12 weeks before the voting starts, but you know, this is somebody who is just going to play it at his pace, and maybe it'll catch on. I mean, do keep in mind about this process that you have Republicans voting for fellow Republicans. You don't have that anchor of partisanship that structures the preferences. So you've got people who will move very quickly and very suddenly because of certain kinds of events. And so it's, as I said, it's fluid, very fluid.
Dick Pullman, it is such a crazy year for Republicans. I mean, you know, the most open pre-nomination field here in decades we see in the polls. Giuliani, he's got Pat Robertson at his side, and yet they're not on the same page on abortion, which has been such a core issue. Mitt Romney, he's in the right place on abortion, but he wasn't there within very much living memory. You know, maybe Slow Fred in this kind of crazy field has that shot. But you said, you know, you said he may be the worst product rollout since the DeLorean in 1981.
You took my line away. I was
sorry.
Going to use that again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, part of the reason I said, well, first of all, let me, one thing, is I agree with you on that. It's so unusual for the Republicans to have a race this fluid. I mean, this is almost like a Democratic kind of race. You know, the Democrats are usually the ones with the fluid race, and the Republicans usually have like this one anointed person whose turn it is. And so they flip roles. And I think in that lies the potential Thompson opportunity because of that. And that's perhaps one of the reasons he came in the first place. When I was saying that line about the DeLorean, I think it was right around the time where he was kind of new to the stump again. And I felt that he was not being very – he wasn't sharp. He was making a lot of statements that he was needing to clarify later on. I mean, there was some –
people said he looked groggy, lazy, barely into it.
Yeah.
Begging or asking for applause instead of earning it with his rhetoric.
Yeah, Robert Novak, the columnist, you know, went to one of his early things and came away extremely unhappy. And, you know, he said something – he mixed up his words, and he said something once about the Cuban refugees who came to Florida – who are coming to Florida the last few years. And instead of saying that they were coming to seek freedom, he said, well, you know, in the age of terrorism, you know, this is the age of the suitcase bomb, and they could be terrorists. And, you know, that's kind of a crazy thing to say because Republicans need the Cuban-American vote in Florida. And so he got into – this was in July when he first got in. So, you know, I thought –
and yet, you know, 5 minutes later, you hear another Republican saying that's exactly the threat at the Mexican border, for example. So it's – I guess it's context as well. Let's get a call from Sandy in Yorkville, Illinois. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you know?
As far as Fred Thompson goes, I was born and raised in South Carolina. I've been living in Illinois for about 7 years and was raised, you know, in the Bible Belt, very conservative. But quite honestly, I like Fred Thompson, and so far he's the candidate that I see as the best candidate.
Are you worried about his energy level, about his commitment? He's laid back.
You know, laid back doesn't mean that you can't get the job done. Laid back means that you have maybe a more even temperament that may get the job done better.
We've got magazines kind of mischievously describing him as an old 65 and his wife, Jerry, as a young 41. Do you care about that, Sandy?
No.
Okay, so he may be your guy.
I like the way, I like his viewpoint. I like where he stands and things, and I agree with a lot of what he stands for.
There's the born and raised...
More so than a lot of the other candidates.
And that's a born and raised in South Carolina voice coming to us from Illinois. Sandy, thank you for that. Let me get a call from Page County, Virginia. Mamala, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would like to comment that 75% of the country believes we're headed in the wrong direction, and all the top-tier candidates on both sides seem to be supporting this Iraq policy, especially close to the election. There seems to be no covers to anybody that disagrees with the current strategy in Iraq, and it seems like Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich aren't getting any attention whatsoever from any of the mainstream media, and the military-industrial complex this year, for the first time in 40 years, is back in Democrat, which is Hillary.
Do you see Thompson as different, or right in that what you say is the mainstream you don't like there?
Well, I don't see any difference between Thompson and the other top-tier candidates or any of the top three candidates on the Democratic side.
Yeah, we had Ron Paul on right here to get his view. What's your question, Mel?
My question is, do you think that if we continue this policy, is it any way linked to Israel's aggression in the Middle East and our unchecked support of that.
Okay, John Geer.
Well, I think the we're in Iraq, and the reason why the top-tier candidates, whether Democrats or Republicans, are basically talking about how to try to get out but slowly and maintain our alliances is that we're there, and that's just the realities. And as a result, it's all constrained the options. A lot of people speculate, and certainly Obama wants to talk about, for example, that, you know, he opposed the war early on and other candidates haven't. But President Bush and the Iraq policy have forced the hands of all the candidates. And so there aren't huge differences on this, partly because, you know, you just can't be irresponsible and say, well, we're going to pull out, you know, on January 21st, 2009. I mean, that's not the responsible thing to say. And so it's kept the candidates closer on these policies than this particular caller and lots of America would like in many ways.
Dick Pullman, do you see Fred Thompson setting himself apart in any way on the strategic front? He set himself apart on some of these values issues, but on the war front, on the strategic front.
Yeah, well, I'm glad this came up, actually, because I think, well, what's interesting is that even if he got the nomination, I think he might still, and this goes back to something else he said on Meet the Press the other day, I still think he potentially would be running into trouble with independent swing voters who, by every poll that you could possibly measure from Gallup to Fox News, are very, very strongly against this war at this point and would like to see, you know, some kind of troop withdrawal begin. I mean, that's where the middle is right now. And he said on Meet the Press the other day a bunch of things that, I mean, it was like right out of basically the current White House playbook. You know, I'm quoting here, I think that we're making substantial progress. There's been a lot of good things happening there. The surge is giving us an opportunity to succeed. This is the front in the larger war. It's the same basic lines that we've been hearing for four or five years
now. No light there between Thompson and Bush. I have to say, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Let me get a call from Centerville, Massachusetts. Bonnie, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I find Fred Thompson enormously reassuring in a strong sort of way. I would call him Common Sense Fred, and I would think his federalism is a real blast of fresh air.
So you're liking it, too, and we hear that. Bonnie, thank you very much. Let me get one more from Joe Rama, Marlboro, Massachusetts. Joe Rama, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, don't like it. Don't like him. He might be a great actor. He might have a hot wife, but I don't buy the whole Iraq thing. The guy before the lady now hit it right on the head. Okay, all the top-tier candidates are business as usual in Iraq, maybe even not taking the whole Iran situation off the table. Kucinich and Ron Paul are the only ones with level heads willing to talk about getting out of Iraq. I don't care how fuzzy-wuzzy, you know, Thompson is. I'm not going to support him if he's going along with the whole Iraq situation or anyone else on the top tier. The Democrats are as dangerous as the Republicans, it sounds like. None of them have the cojones to say, let's get out of Iraq. Last night you had a program about the United States reputation. I didn't have a chance to hear it, but we need a president that's going to make amends, reparations for our dastardly behavior the last 3 to 4 years. No one's talking about that.
Well, a few are, but Jerome, we got the perspective. Our time grows short. John Geer, what are you going to look for in these next weeks? Is there a position? Is there a momentum? Is there an issue that Thompson can raise, or does he just go along, you know, like the steady guy on Law and Order, the DA, and hope it comes to him?
Well, I think that's part of his strategy, and also we'll see if the Republican Party starts to really try to find a candidate to coalesce as kind of the opponent to coalesce around for the opponent to Giuliani. And we'll see how that plays out over the coming weeks. I mean, obviously, Romney's in very strong position, as Dick pointed out, because if he wins Iowa and New Hampshire, I think he then ends up probably running close to the table and capturing the nomination. But it's also possible that Giuliani, which is going to make a strong showing in New Hampshire, it's very open and fluid. And one of the things that political science can predict is the outcome of general elections with great precision. We almost have no ability to predict the outcomes of presidential nominations because you have multi-candidates and lots of fluid process, and I think the Republicans are a classic example.
Never more than this time. Dick Pullman, time short, in a word, still the DeLorean car here for Thompson, or maybe something hotter?
Well, I think we might we haven't mentioned Mike Huckabee at all,
mm-hmm.
and I think he could surprise people in Iowa and be yet another factor that Fred Thompson would have to deal with. So he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Well, it's been a lot of fun and interesting to look at Fred Thompson. Unusual candidate, John Geer at Vanderbilt University, joining us from Nashville. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Dick Pullman with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thanks for joining us, Dick.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.